Okay, in the last 3 Sundays, our Lenten series has reminded us that there is a literal wilderness, okay? There is a place that is a wilderness. But also, there is a metaphorical wilderness, which is where believers constantly live. It's a place of obstacle, it's a place of challenges, it's a place of trials and temptations, it's a place of conflict with people you aren't expecting to be in conflict with, and people that are alien to you, you know, people that are close to you. But it's also that place of conflict. Now, in this metaphorical wilderness, believers encounter all these challenges, and this wilderness, you know, sometimes you get to a place where, okay, you know, I have had enough, so let's go into jungle justice, you know, let's just do as it demands. In other words, let's put scripture aside. You know, let's just do as we feel as doing, because this is too much. Sometimes that's how it is. But that's the nature of this metaphorical wilderness that believers constantly live in. And I've got bad news for you this morning. We will continue to live in this metaphorical wilderness in this side of eternity, you know, until we get to the other side. Then no more metaphorical wilderness, because it's all going to be joy, peace, and love, and righteousness, all those stuff, you know. But in this side of reality, we experience this metaphorical wilderness. It is a part of us. And you might think, okay, yes, this is an obstacle. Yes, I'm going to get done with it. Sure, you know, God willing, you actually crossed that obstacle. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when, before the next challenge appears before you. So that is the reality of this side of eternity where we currently live. And a case in point about the, you know, these trials and temptation that we experience in this metaphorical wilderness can be found in Luke chapter 4 from verse 1 to 13. We read that passage a couple of Sundays ago. Now, that passage talks about the temptation of Jesus, how Satan tempted Jesus. And guess what? I mean, Jesus just spent 40 days praying and fasting, and he was in a vulnerable state because scripture says Jesus was hungry, Jesus was tired, and then Satan came to exploit Jesus' vulnerabilities. But scripture tells us that Satan failed. Similarly, in Luke chapter 13 from verse 31 to 35, which we saw last week, right? Satan created a metaphorical wilderness through the Pharisees to derail Jesus of his mission. You know, Jesus' redemptive mission. That's Satan's plan. But again, Satan failed. Now, these examples remind us that the obstacles we face are sometimes from Satan. Okay, the obstacles that we face are sometimes from Satan, whose chief goal, according to John chapter 10, verse 10, is to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's the chief goal of the devil, to steal, kill, and to destroy. No more, no less. That's it. However, then, you know, Isaiah 55 from verse 1 to 9, the place that Brenda read clearly, That passage reminds us that the obstacles that we face might also not come from Satan. Okay? Now, particularly verses 6 to 7 of Isaiah 55. Scripture says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts." Now we see similar thought in Luke chapter 13, our New Testament reading about the sinners forsaking their sinful ways, right? That is clearly seen in this metaphor of a barren fig tree that isn't bearing fruit. You know, it's just living in its sinful ways. And so if you are not going to repent, you know, you're going to be cut off. You're going to be cut off. So we see that. And so these two passages are implying that some wilderness we experience come as a result of our sinful choices. Still, you know, whether our wilderness is self-made or not, you know, sometimes it feels like everyone around us is making progress, right? Is making progress in their own wildernesses. You know, it's like, you know, I look around, my friend is really making just making headway. Of course, they have challenges, but they are really pushing that challenge, you know, and they are doing better compared to me, you know? So it's like, you know, we are just stuck in our challenges, in our wilderness. We are stuck. There is no really focus. You know, there is no movement. And sometimes even it feels as if progress is non-existent, you know, because sometimes it's like taking a step forward, right? But then we take some steps backwards, you know? So, and taking that one step forward requires immense energy because it's in the wilderness. You know, you were tense and you were tired and you were confused, right? And taking that one step forward to do the right thing requires a lot of energy, but only for setbacks to follow. Sometimes that's how it feels. The wilderness is already a tense place and a challenging place. But, you know, the tension we feel multiplies when we compare our situations with others whom we perceive are really progressing better in their own wildernesses than us. You know, the tension increases. Now, this leads to questions and thoughts that, you know, adds to the weight of the tension that we carry. And, you know, our shoulders are not strong enough. Our hearts are not machines. They are not machines. They are flesh, they are blood, and they give up if we add too much tension to all these parts that we are blessed with. And so, are you tired? Are you tired? I am at times. I am. There are moments when I feel like, you know, enough is enough. There are moments like that. You know, often such exhaustion comes, you know, when I look around, you know, and some things aren't just going as they ought to. Yes. And what happens when we do that? What happens when we look around? We worry. We tend to worry. Remember, I reminded us last week, sorrow looks back. Worry looks around. What about faith? Faith looks up. It looks up. And scripture says, people are born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. In other words, challenges are inevitable, you know, for us imperfect humans, you know, because we stumble. Even when we do not want to really worry, we find ourselves worrying. Even when we do not want to be bathed in the pool of sorrow, we find ourselves in that pool because we are fallible. We are imperfect people. But as you know, looking back invites sorrow. Looking around energizes worry. Yet, when worry and sorrow, when they attack, we need to respond with faith by looking upward. Scripture says, the devil always looks for an opportune time to strike. Particularly, 1 Peter 5:8 describes Satan as a roaring lion looking for whom to devour. And so believers are warned to stay vigilant and resist the devil. The passage, you know, our Old Testament passage, Isaiah 55, uses profound imagery of hunger and thirst to spotlight people in some metaphorical wildernesses. You know, and those people in those wildernesses are feeling weary, they are feeling empty, they are feeling hopeless. Now, regardless of the source or the sources of our trials, God knows. That is the message of Isaiah 55, that no matter what we're going through, no matter the obstacle, God knows. No matter the pain we are going through, you know, God cares. That's what Isaiah 55 is saying, that no matter what we are going through, it is God's move. It is God's move. It is. And that is why in Isaiah 55, God invites us to drink and eat freely. You know, just look at that. You are feeling empty. You are feeling weary. You are feeling so tired and thirsty and hungry and hopeless. And you look around, you know, it's all worry. You look back, it's all sorrow, right? And God said, you know, I have set the table in your wilderness. I have said it, you know, with overflowing food and water, you know, choice drink and whatnot. I just set the table. Come and sit and drink and eat and be refreshed because it is refreshing time. That's what Isaiah 55 is telling us. However, God does not, you know, see, the fact that God comes into that, our wilderness, and set up the table before us. You know, remember what Psalm 23 says, right? You set a table in the presence of my enemies. That's what God does, setting up table. The enemy, the lion, the roaring lion is watching. The table is set, but the lion has no power. Even in the wilderness, with God as our guide, with God on our side. But then, the fact that we have all of these abundance, enjoying from the abundance of God's household, it doesn't always mean that God will remove our wilderness from us. No, no. It doesn't mean that God is going to remove us from the wilderness. It doesn't mean that. But it means that God is going to strengthen us. God is going to help us persevere. God is going to help us endure with the process. God is going to strengthen us to get past those obstacles that are holding us down, that are making us look around and we worry, that are making us look back and we are so filled with sorrow. God is strengthening us to sit with that. We stand victoriously to the praise and honor of His name. So sometimes God's purpose, you know, isn't to eliminate those trials that we face, but to refine and grow us through them. While the journey may be painful and challenging, Scripture promises the support we need to overcome the obstacles, the trials, the temptations we encounter in those wildernesses. One of such Bible passage that reminds me of God's ever-present support is Colossians 1:28-29, which says, "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Now listen, to this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me." Now, this passage shows how God gives us strength and energy to overcome life's challenges in our wildernesses. And so it emphasizes reliance on God's power to fulfill God's will, God's purpose in and through us. That is what the passage is calling attention to. Therefore, through God's grace, God has given us the strength to make every wilderness a means to grow gradually into the people after His own heart. Yes. And so every wilderness challenge can become a blessing. Because Scripture says all things, not some things, but all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. So even the wilderness season can be a blessing if we trust and follow God's word. I conclude this morning by reading this passage from James chapter 1, from verse 2-6. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please.